As I said earlier, this has been just about the strangest of weeks. Rarely can a Mothering Sunday have been so totally eclipsed by a big national issue. But that really has been the case this year. And of course, one of the questions that people have been asking is, how long is this going on for? Within days of the restrictions on gatherings being announced, people were asking, when can we get back to normal? It's a kind of reminder for us that we aren't naturally patient people. Patience has been defined as able to accept or tolerate delays, problems or sufferings without becoming annoyed or anxious. And believe me, we are not good at it. It doesn't come naturally to most people. If something bad's happening, we just want it over and done with. We want to get through it. Children are like it from the start. How many parents will have had the, are we nearly there yet? From the back of the car, when you've only just started on a long journey. This morning we're continuing our series on the book of James. And quite appropriately, James has some important things to say about patience. So Debbie is going to read for us now from James chapter 5.
So we're reading James chapter 5, beginning at verse 7.
Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we counted as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Be patient then, brothers and sisters. Yes, maybe the world around does seem impatient at times, but God's people should be different. After all, patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's something which God, by his Spirit, is growing in those who are following Jesus. But James isn't just talking about patience generally. There is a special circumstance which, as Christians, we need to be patient. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. It flows from what James has said just before this, which we were looking at last week. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. So we saw last week that James was challenging, he was warning the rich who were exploiting the poor. And now he speaks to the poor Christians who are on the receiving end of that. How should they respond? They should wait for the Lord, who they've been crying out to. And that, of course, can be applied to so many difficult situations we find ourselves in as God's people. It's where our patience is most often tested and tried. I've not heard anybody say it yet, but it's only a matter of time before I hear someone say, why isn't God doing something about this coronavirus epidemic? And even as Christians, we can expect God to act and to do it now. That sort of, why isn't God acting question is nothing new. In Psalm 13, it says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? When you're suffering, waiting for the Lord to come is not easy. When James talks here about waiting for the Lord's coming, I think he got something much bigger in mind. Because usually when the Bible uses a phrase like that, it is pointing to the day when the Lord will literally and physically come. The day when the Lord Jesus returns. Until then, we long for the Lord to come into this situation or that situation. We long for him to come into the current situation and bring an end to the suffering that this virus is causing. But we know that further down the line, in this fallen world, something else will happen that will cause us pain. For the poor workers James was writing to here, yes, they longed that the Lord would come and deal with that particular situation. But that wouldn't mean they'd never have any other troubles. But when Jesus comes again, it will be different. All injustice, suffering, heartbreak, pain, all viruses, be finished forever. And above all, that is what James wants us to wait patiently for the return of our Lord Jesus. And to help us grasp that, he gives us two examples of patience and sandwiched between them a challenge to be patient. So, first, be patient like a farmer. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Growing things definitely requires patience. A couple of weeks ago, our grandson Lucas was with us, and he and I planted my first early potatoes. About half an hour later, Lucas went to the potato barrel and had a look in to see if they had started coming up yet. But it's going to be weeks until they start to show. It's going to be three or four months beyond that before they're ready to lift. And farming's like that. You sow the seed, trusting that it will grow. In James's time, you waited for the two rainy seasons, the first of which would make the seeds germinate, the second would fill the seeds out ready for harvest. There was nothing you could do to hurry it along. You had to trust, knowing that at the end there would be a harvest. You too, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Of course, it's not a perfect comparison, because as any gardener knows, things like slugs, green fly, and 100 other little nasties can ruin your hoped-for harvest. But with the return of the Lord, nothing will ever stop it. So wait patiently. Be patient like a farmer, and be patient like a prophet. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Maybe James had Jeremiah in mind. He was called to be a prophet when he was only young. For 40 years he spoke God's word to God's people, and he was constantly attacked for doing it. Or maybe Isaiah, who at the start of his 40 years ministry was told by God that actually no one would ever listen to him. But both of them went on speaking God's word. And if you know Isaiah's prophecy, you'll know that he said a lot about the day of the Lord's coming. The day when nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The day when the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. The day when the Lord will execute judgment on all people. The day when he will create new heavens and a new earth. And for 40 years, Isaiah went on pointing God's people to that glorious hope. But he never saw it himself. Just the opposite. According to tradition, Isaiah was killed by being sawn in two during the reign of King Manasseh. So can you see why James wants us to learn from people like that? Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And then there was Job. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Job is probably the greatest example of suffering ever. And in his suffering, he questioned why God had allowed it all to happen. He challenged God because it didn't seem as though God was being fair. But despite everything, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And sunk in suffering so desperate that hopefully none of us will ever experience it, Job could still say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh will I see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. Isn't that amazing? To be able to say that when your world has been torn to pieces and you have lost everything through no fault of your own, yet you can still trust that God will work it out in the end. So how could Job, how could Isaiah and Jeremiah have that patience in the face of suffering? They knew that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You see, when you know that someone loves you, even if you don't understand why they're taking so long to sort something out, you will trust them and you'll be patient. So be patient like a farmer, because you know the harvest will come. Be patient like a prophet, because you know that God is full of compassion and mercy. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming, because Jesus is coming back. So James gives us the reason for being patient. He gives us examples of patience, and he also gives us a challenge. Be patient with one another. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters. It's picking up on a theme that seems to have run through James' epistle as we've studied it. Back in chapter 1, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. James would only write that if those were the things that were happening. Chapter 4, verse 1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Or chapter 4, verse 11, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. James is writing to real people in a real church. From the first part of chapter 5, we saw that it was a church where at least some of the members were suffering. They were having a tough time. And so often, when the going gets tough, it's the tongue that gets going. Under pressure, we get short with each other. We grumble. And that is something we need to watch out for over the next few weeks. We're in an extraordinary situation. It's stressful for all of us. For some, it's really stressful. We don't have the chance to meet together. We'll have to do it through phone calls or through social media. It's a breeding ground for misunderstandings. You think that others are forgetting or ignoring you, or that you aren't being appreciated for what you're doing, and you start to grumble. How do we stop ourselves doing it? Well, we remember that God is compassionate and merciful, and just meditating on that, meditating on the number of reasons we give God to grumble about us, but he doesn't, it will help us to be more like him. But actually, we remember as well that grumbling against each other in church has consequences. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. And I think that's why James ends this little section by talking about swearing. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. If we're waiting patiently for the Lord, If we're loving and trusting one another, we will be people of truth. We won't need to take some sort of oath of honesty because we'll always speak the truth to one another. You see, in our personal relationships, to say, honestly, as God's my witness, you can trust me when I say this, is effectively saying that most of the rest of the time you can't trust what I'm saying. Let's be honest with one another. You too, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. But I guess we might be tempted to want to ask James, what is he on about? What does he mean by the Lord's coming is near? Because surely if Jesus was near in James's day, which was 2,000 years ago, then James must have got it wrong. But the New Testament tells us that as far as God's concerned, the next item on his agenda is the Lord Jesus' return. Jesus came the first time to die and be raised again. Then he ascended into heaven. And the next thing he will do is come back. And it's in that sense that Jesus' return is near. Because it could happen at any time. It could happen today, tonight, tomorrow, or in many years. None of us knows the date, but his coming is near. And it's actually Christians who have taken this teaching most seriously who've ended up being the most passionate in living for the Lord. There was a great social reformer, Lord Shaftesbury, and he was like that. Every morning for 40 years, when he woke up, he reminded himself that Jesus could come back that day. And his life's work for the reform of this country was incredible in all sorts of ways. It's a testimony for his living in the light of the Lord's coming. So here's the challenge. The perspective we need to have. Jesus is coming back. It's the only promise, actually, that Jesus has left to fulfill. He's kept all the rest. He will keep this one. So be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming.